What's up, everybody? Welcome to MUK.org podcast, where we talk about stuff no one else does. We have a great show ahead of you today. This is your host, Steve Smee. I'm with the Mason. He's in the house as well, coming in from north of the border. We have some great topics, guys, that you guys have sent in. So let's get to it. Let's talk about, first off, what's big right now in social media. All the pros and all these social media guys that you see on YouTube and Instagram who deny they use steroids. Let's talk about why they deny using and, you know, kind of bust the myth that they are natural. We call them fake Maddies in the industry. Matt, let's talk about a little bit. Let's go back to talk about, we talked about Frank Zane. We had Frank Zane on our previous podcast on the other podcast that we do. And he got upset when he was asked if he used steroids. He was a Mr. Olympia for three straight years in the late 70s. But he denies that he used steroids, and he's denied that he's used steroids since. And Matt, you listened to the podcast. What do you think when you first heard that? Were you kind of flabbergasted, or were you like, you know what, that's typical?
Yeah, it kind of both. Like, I don't understand it at this point in time why you would need to not, you know, just kind of say what you did, unless you have some big secret or you want to sell it. You know, you want to sell your advice. That's the only other way. But I mean, it's just part of the game. Like, guys admit it. You know, Arnold's talked about it. Like, it's no secret. You know, I have a hard time understanding why guys don't, you know, admit to it. These are, if you're not in a tested show, like, you got to assume everybody's using everything they can to win, you know, so it only makes sense. Everybody does everything they can to win. I do notice guys like that, they answer the question very carefully. I'm pretty sure he said something like, I didn't rely on anything else besides my training and my diet. You know, that's a unique way of saying you didn't use them. So, you know, these guys are very careful about, you know, what they say. But I'm telling you, some of these guys you see in these Instagram videos and on Facebook, like, you don't get that big naturally. You can't. You know, you're not benching five plates because you're eating a lot of chicken. You know, it's just not, it's not happening. So, you know, I wish I had a good reason for why, you know, guys don't admit it. But it seems to be this trend now of guys pretending that, you know, they don't use anything.
I think the main reason why they don't is the legality. But I also think it has a lot to do with their personal financial situation. Because, you know, you come out and you say, hey, yeah, I use steroids. And then people, you know, aren't going to want to buy your special program, your $300, $500, or $1,000 program, where you have a secret of how to burn fat and build muscle and build strength. So people are going to be less inclined to buy your program. They're going to be more inclined to spend that $1,000 on steroids instead, even though steroids are not the answer. You know, let's face it, Frank Zane, fantastic genetics. He never once admitted it on the podcast either. But the thing is, like, guys like him, you know, I'll give you this example. It's an example that I've used a lot on the forums. It's a true story in my personal life. I was a very successful weight powerlifter in my younger days. You know, let's take high school, for example. High school is an even playing field. You know, everyone goes to school. You know, we're on similar diets. We have the same lifestyles, okay, as high school kids. So why is it that I have to go and lift six times a week? Between my junior and senior year, I had to lift 6 days a week all summer. So I would drive to my school and weight train in our gym, our little shitty-ass gym. But these other guys, they'd show up maybe once every 2 weeks or once a month. I would never see them working out. And then when we have state weightlifting, they would qualify, it, you know, in districts, and then we go to state and they'd get like top three in their weight class. And they never even busted their ass. They had tremendous genetics. And these guys ended up getting, you know, Division I scholarships. Some of them even made it to the NFL that I went to school with. But they never worked hard. They never worked as hard as me. I had to bust my ass to make state, to qualify to go to state. And even then, I finished in eighth place in my state, in my weight class. And they're like finishing in the top three in their weight class. When, you know, and, you know, I have to attribute that, I'm sorry, I have to attribute that to genetics. Some people are just blessed with genetics. So they can come out and say, hey, you know, you don't have to push yourself hard. You don't have to work hard. You can just listen. If your body says, oh, I don't feel like working out, take the day off. That's fine. That's the Frank Zane method to fitness. But in my life, that doesn't work. I have to bust my ass. I have to push my body to succeed in fitness, whether it's powerlifting, bodybuilding, endurance, any type of fitness I do, I have to push myself 100% just to succeed, while these guys don't. So when you're listening to these gurus, you know, either pro bodybuilders or these guys on social media, even, you know, our good friend Dave Palumbo, even Boston Lloyd. Boston Lloyd, you know, admits, hey, my parents were bodybuilders. I grew up in a bodybuilding family. Bodybuilding is all I know. It's in his genetics. He grew up with it as well. Not only is it it's his genetics, but he also grew up with it. And he's the first one to admit, yeah, I have better genetics. Do I have pro bodybuilder Olympia genetics? No, but he still has above average genetics. So, you know, these guys actually admit, hey, yeah, I have great genetics. I have a lot more respect for them versus these other guys who say, no, it's my program. It's my secret, quote-unquote, program that I'm going to make you buy, and you're going to have to go buy all my books, because that's how I got the way I was. It wasn't through my genetics. It wasn't through steroids.
Any program will work if you stick to it. Both of us, we've been doing this a long time, and I can tell you I've done every style of training there could possibly be, and it all comes down to consistency. And, you know, if I got everything locked in the way it should be, I'm going to get results. You know, whether I'm following somebody's program or I'm just putting my own thing together, it comes down to, you know, everybody's different. So, you know, what works for me might not work for you. So for me to try to put a program together and have this secret in there and try to sell it and market it that, you know, it's going to make you huge, or this is the missing link to, you know, for you competing against guys with great genetics, you know, it's just not the reality. There is no secret. That's the secret right there. There is no secret. Anybody that's charging you an insane amount of money for their training program, there is no secret. The trick is their genetics are amazing, and they look the way they do for a reason. Because they've been busting their ass, they're training hard, they're eating right, and they've been doing it for a long time. You know, you got the guys out there that'll tell you, I eat ice cream and pizza, and, you know, I just count my calories, and this is how I look. And they're shredded 6% body fat. You know, they're not doing that. That's the bullshit they're telling you. So you buy their program. And then when you get their program and the diet's laid out, it's going to say broccoli, chicken, and rice. It's not going to say pizza and ice cream, you know, so you're going to be in for a real awakening when you actually get the program. You know, like, the science is what it is. Our bodies are only capable of so much, and, you know, if it was as easy as eating shit and following a secret program, like, everybody would look great. But you look around, everybody's fat. You know, that's where we are today.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's another thing that kind of pissed me off. Some of these guys, you know, they put on their social media, they have videos of their cheat day, and they're like eating whole pizzas and wings and beer and all this crap. It's all ruse, guys. It's all fucking ruse. Because they're not telling you how much DMT they're on, how much Clen they're on, how much Cartarine they're on, how much SR they're on. You know, they're not telling you all this stuff either. And that really helps. If you're on all these fat-burning drugs and all these drugs that increase metabolism, you can eat shit and get away with it, okay? But if you're fat and overweight, you can't. You have to stop eating shit. The whole point of changing the way you look is changing your lifestyle in the first place. So for them to have the audacity to tell you it's okay to eat tubs of ice cream, it's okay to eat pizza, even if it's on a cheat day or a cheat meal, whatever, is the wrong message. Because if you're struggling to lose weight, you really have to change your lifestyle. When you trim down and you get to a low enough body fat, then, yeah, you can have a cheat meal, okay, within reason, because you have that space. But if you're fat and you're desperate to lose weight, that's just not the right attitude because you have a food addiction. What do you think about that, Matt? To
piggyback on it. Yeah, for sure. I mean, food is the biggest obstacle in this lifestyle, no matter what. You know, like you see tons of fat people at the gym, right? But you don't see tons of fat people dieting. And why is that? It's because dieting is hard. Like, it sucks to sit there and be hungry and be like, yeah, I guess I'm going to eat some carrots and drink some water. You know, when you're used to just stuffing whatever you want and not caring. So there's a reason why people look the way they do, because it's hard to do. You can't do it by eating crap. You have to get over it. And here's the thing. Here's where you have an advantage. You know what? If you're in that spot and you decide it's time to get my shit together, I'll tell you where you have an advantage over the genetically gifted person. Because the genetically gifted person is going to be lazy. And eventually, that's going to catch up to them. And when they get older, they're not going to be able to live the same way. If you have a tougher time, like what Steve just said, and had to, you know, weight train 6 days a week just to keep up with the other guys in the state, like, you develop that work ethic, it's going to become a lifestyle. And the lifestyle is the key, right? That's the key word to this whole thing. You're going to be the one that's going to be successful long term. That you're going to be the one at 35, 45, 55 that's going to still be in great shape. You're going to be able to run around with your kids, your grandkids at some point. You're going to look good on the beach because you work hard and you know what you need to do. You know, so that's where you have an advantage. And you know what? If you just put a little effort in, if you're a little overweight at the beginning, that weight starts to come off fast because you do have weight to lose. It could be a huge source of motivation. So, you know, get that start.
These guys that all were like that, they succeeded in college, and they flamed out when they got to the pros. They weren't able to make it in the pros. Because at the pro level, everybody has great genetics. You see what I'm saying? So to be a great pro, you have to be like Tom Brady. To be a great pro for 15 years straight, like he has, you got to eat perfect. You got to sleep 9 hours a night. You got to work your ass off. You got to put your head into the playbook, study, get to know your teammates, learn their tendencies. You got to do all that shit to be successful. The Peyton Mannings and Tom Brady's of the world, they have great genetics, okay? They have great fucking genetics. But so do guys like these other guys who fucking flame out. You know, they don't do shit in the NFL. Like Ryan Leaf, he was the second pick. Peyton Manning was the first pick. They asked Peyton Manning after the draft. They said, "What are you doing this weekend?" He said, "I'm gonna go work out and I'm gonna get to know my teammates. I'm gonna talk to my teammates and I'm gonna, you know, get into the playbook as soon as I get signed. I want to be at the facility, get ready for the season." You know what Ryan Leaf said? Ryan Leaf said, "I'm gonna go party," when they asked him what he was gonna do that weekend. So it's a different mentality because both of the players had amazing, you know, Mother Nature gifted them a gift, a talent, genetically. One ran with it and one ended up in prison. Riley ended up in prison. He horrible, a horrible player, a horrible person all around. So that's the difference. And this segues into professional. Why do professional athletes deny steroid use? Obviously, you know, professional athletes do use performance-enhancing drugs, okay? The thing is, whenever you hear a professional athlete get busted for something, you had all these morons in the media, you know, on ESPN, on these stupid TV shows that they have on ESPN, where it's all opinionated on Twitter, on social media. Then you have idiots on these forums. They come out and say, oh, this player, he, you know, is in the NFL, and he's doing well because he's on steroids. So they want to take away that person's gift, genetic gift, and they want to take away that person's hard work to be successful on a professional level, and they want to just say, oh, it's steroids. So that's why you're never going to see steroids legalized in professional sports, because the ignorance of the media, people in the media, and fans, and the general public will not allow that. Leagues to actually allow people to openly use steroids, okay? So, I mean, that's why you have professional athletes that deny. Whenever they get busted for steroids, they always say, oh, I was taking some supplement, it was a banned substance, I didn't know it was banned, yada, yada, yada. So, you know, that's why in the pros they do it, you know. And
in football especially, with there's no guaranteed contracts, right? So, you can, which is crazy, but that's a whole other topic. You could sign a contract, you know, for, you know, 5 years at $10 million per, and you can get cut a week later and get nothing. You know, that's the way football works. So, especially in football, you guys are going to deny it because that's their financial future right there. And, you know, their name could be tainted. And you see how negative. Like, I'm telling you, I can't think of anything more negative in sports than steroids when it comes to people's reputation. Nothing. No drugs. I'm telling you, like, people look more highly at guys like Michael Vick with the dog fighting and all that shit. They look more highly at guys like, you know, Adrian Peterson with that whole thing with his kid, right? They look higher at people like that than they do at Barry Bonds. Everybody hates Barry Bonds. Yeah, he had an attitude, whatever. He was a dick. But statistically, this guy is the best baseball player to ever play the game. He's insane what he was able to accomplish. And you take the years out where he looked like he got bigger, and he did. He got significantly bigger. We know he was juicing. He was still a Hall of Fame player well before that. But you know what? The fact that he's tied to steroids makes him, he's the lowest of the low. So we have this crazy view of steroids being this, you know, you take it and all of a sudden you're a god. You know, that's not how these compounds work. But in social media, in, you know, media in general, they'll have you think that. They'll have you think that, you know, these guys are good athletes, but the reason they're good is, you know, if this guy got caught, well, that's why, because he used steroids. And it's just crazy, because that's not why. He's gifted genetically, and he works his ass off every single day. And the guys that don't, when you're a professional athlete, are the guys that disappear, like Steve mentioned, Ryan Leaf, like Johnny Manziel, guys like that. If you are genetically gifted, but you don't bust your ass, those genetics only get you so far, and the rest of the guys that are willing to put the work in, well, they'll crush you, and then you're done. You know, that's the elite level that you're talking about.
It is amazing, you know, the whole genetic thing, too. In bodybuilding, you know, bodybuilding is one of those things, it's kind of funny, because different than pro sports, I think people actually believe, when they, you know, see bodybuilding shows and stuff, they actually believe more than any other sport that they can just take steroids and look like those guys. They don't understand that, yeah, you need steroids, but you also need incredible genetics as well. Because so many people use steroids and look like shit and look like they don't even lift. It's just amazing to me. You know, I would hope that people don't think that you just inject some steroids up your ass and you're going to be a top 10 Mr. Olympia. Like, it's that fucking easy. You know, so, you know, you gotta, like, have a big perspective on things. But genetics, you know, play a huge role in bodybuilding. You can take a bunch of steroids, work your ass off in the gym, have a great diet, have a great workout routine that fits you and everything, and really not get very far. And the same thing can apply to basketball or hockey or football. You can do the same thing. You can practice dribbling every day, practice shooting a basketball. But I'm sorry, if you're 5'5", you're never going to be a good basketball player. Because you go on, you know, at the park and you meet up with a bunch of the guys, and you're going to struggle. That these guys are 6 foot tall, you know, you're only 5'5". It's not going to be easy to rebound. It's not going to be easy to do a layup because they're going to block you. So, you know, it's a genetic thing. Someone like Lee Priest, if he would have went and had a dream to play basketball, you think he would have made it as a basketball player? No, he wouldn't have. But he found his niche, which was bodybuilding, and he excelled at it, and he had amazing genetics for it. He's got the perfect body structure for it. He's got the genetics. His mom was a professional bodybuilder, so we know he's got the genetics. So it's all a combination of things. So, I mean, I hope you guys, like, really fucking understand, you know, where we're coming from on this. And just remember, next time you hear these clowns, whether they're pro bodybuilders or they're on YouTube or on their Instagram, pushing these supplements and pushing their programs for $300, $500, $1,000, realize that you don't have their genetics, and it's not their programs that got them there. It's not their fucking crappy cookie-cutter programs that got them where they are. It was fucking their genetics, steroids, the drugs they're using, all that combined to do it.
These guys, too, have a lot more resources than a typical guy. You know, like, most of us, we're working our whatever our regular full-time job is. We're coming home to our wife and our kids, and, you know, the kids got to get to baseball practice, and then I'm going to go to the gym for an hour because that's when I can do it. These guys are doing it all the time. This is their job, right? And they are marketing machines. They're sales machines. There's a reason why when you watch the video of a program, and then the first thing you think after you watch it is, fuck, I need to buy that. That's going to make me huge. Because they know what they're doing. They're good at selling. So remember that, too. This is their source of income. So I'm in sales personally. I have a good understanding of how these things work. And this is what they're doing. They're selling you a program so they can succeed financially. This is just the way it works. So remember that part too when you're watching these things. It's kind of like when we talk about supplements and we say, you know, don't read the claim. It's going to increase muscle and decrease fat. Read the ingredients that are in the product to know if it's right. It's the same idea here. Don't listen to all the claims. Don't look at the guy selling the program. Don't look at the guy on the bottle. Same idea.
Yeah, the label.
Work out consistently. If you eat right, you'll be the best that you can be. Genetically, you'll be the best you can be. But you won't be that other guy. So don't come on the forum and say, how do I look like Lee Priest? I'm short. How do I get arms like him? Don't ask that because you're you. So the goal is to get to the best you that you could be.
Yeah, that's exactly right. With supplements, you know, we see this with marketing. Marketing is a very strong strategy. More people buy pizza at a Pizza Hut or a Papa John's or Domino's or whatever, all these crappy franchise pizza places, and the pizza is disgusting. Okay, pizza is my favorite cheap food. If I have a cheat meal once every 2 weeks or once a month and I want something, I'm going to have a slice of pizza. But I would never fucking buy pizza from Domino's or Papa John's or any of these shitty-ass places. I'm going to get pizza from, like, a fucking authentic Italian place that has authentic pizza, you know, that tastes good and has health, you know, decent ingredients, okay? It's not smothered in garbage and the cheese isn't some crappy-ass cheese that they got off the back of a truck in Wisconsin and, you know, the, like, leftover cheese, you know? But these franchise restaurants, they sell more pizza than any authentic Italian restaurant because the marketing, you know, the athlete, you know, you got celebrities and athletes marketing for them. They're all over the TV. You know, you watch football or hockey or basketball, you see pizza commercials during the game. They're sponsoring the you know, the networks are sponsoring the leagues, whatever. You see their advertisements even in the stadiums and in the arenas. So they're marketing the shit out of it. When you're looking at the supplement, don't pay attention to the marketing, the labeling, who's pushing it. You look at the ingredients on the back. Read the ingredients, not just what's in it, but how much is in it. So you want quality ingredients. That's why on our forums, we always, you know, have your back on that. We're always going to tell you or recommend, hey, buy this supplement. This supplement company, look at, you know, just check out the ingredients on this when you're asking about a product. And we're going to tell you, hey, this testosterone booster is shit. It's got two ingredients, which is, and it's got a quarter of the ingredients as this other test booster for the same price. Which one are you going to choose? You're going to pick the better one. So, you know, don't fall prey to this, guys. It's very important. There's a lot of bullshit out there. We're a completely service-based economy nowadays. So everything is a sale. You know, so that makes sense, guys. If you have more questions on this, please hit us up, guys. Always hit me up. Always hit, you know, the Mason up, and, you know, we'll answer these questions on the show. If you have any questions about specific products that you're concerned about. So, you know, let's segue into our next topic, which also kind of ties into all this, and that's metabolism. Metabolism is a very complicated subject, and a lot of people don't quite understand the way metabolism works. You know, the thing about metabolism is a lot of people think that fat people all have bad metabolisms, and skinny people all have fast metabolisms. That's not necessarily true, all right? So, you know, Matt, you know, what do you think about metabolism? What are some of the myths out there?
You know what, it is a very complex thing, and you know what, you just nailed it, because somebody that's overweight, you take a guy that's 300 pounds and he's, you know, say he's 35% body fat, but he's maintaining at a very, very high caloric intake, right? So his body is using a ton of calories to maintain that body weight every day. To say he's got a slow metabolism, I wouldn't say that without, you know, looking further into it, because he's probably just eating way too much. You know, the metabolic rate is probably just fine if he wasn't eating 6,000 calories. If he was eating 3,000, he's probably not going to be that size. So guys and girls that say, you know, they just say it for whatever reason, it comes to mind, I have a high metabolism or a slow metabolism, you know, ask questions. Do you? You know, is that something you've had checked? Like, are we sure? A lot of these supplements, too, you want to be careful with, because they'll use that word, too. Because metabolism is one of those key words, right, that jump out. When you hear that word, you pay attention. So if you're looking at something and it says it raises metabolism, you may think it's very effective. A typical ingredient that raises metabolism is caffeine. Sure, it raises metabolism. You know how much? Not very much. Okay, it's very, very little. So this is, again, it kind of goes back to these claims, and this is where there's myths with metabolism. You just want it to have a good metabolism. Everybody has their own metabolism, right? This is our genetics. This is where we're going with this. So it all comes down to your lifestyle as a whole. If you start eating shit, and you know what's the worst is drinking. Alcohol will destroy your metabolism for 2, sometimes even 3 days. If you're eating shit, you're going to make your metabolism worse, because you're going to be fat. You're going to screw up your liver. Your liver's your primary fat-burning organ. So if you're drinking on top of it, it's going to spiral. So to have a good metabolism, you want to be hydrated. You want to be eating lots of vegetables. You want to be eating lean meats, eggs, whole foods, you know, good fruits, things like that. That's how you get to what your metabolism should be. And you don't want to be artificially raising it with stimulants all day long, because inevitably it crashes. And then you're just kind of riding the roller coaster, and you see that way too much, especially nowadays. Like, everybody's just caffeined up from day till night, from work and school and whatever, gym, like, it's just crazy.
The real danger with caffeine, you know, stimulants, is the addiction factor. It's the adrenal fatigue. As you continue to use it, you'll start noticing you're going to need more and more of it just to wake up. I know people that are in their 60s that drink like 8 cups of coffee a day, and still it's not enough. They're completely addicted. Their adrenal glands are completely fucked, all right? So the only way to cure that, you have to knock that down. You have to wean yourself off of the caffeine and then hopefully cure yourself from that. But caffeine is extremely addictive, all right? So, guys, you know, please be very careful. If you're using caffeine every single day, that's really not good, you know, because you're going to get addicted to that shit. You don't want to be hooked on anything in life that you need to take just to get in a workout. That's, you know, that's not really freedom. You know, you want to be free in fitness. You want to be able to just motivate yourself in an instant to do, you know, to go work out. You don't want to be like, well, to go work out, I'm going to need to do this. I'm going to have to take this. I'm going to need my pre-workout, blah, 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 blah. No. You should just, like, on a whim be like, look, I'm just going to go for a workout. Those are the best workouts. When you don't feel like working out and you feel like shit, those are actually the best workouts. If you ask any endurance athlete, what, you know, when did you set a PR? Oh, they'll tell you, I felt like shit. I woke up in the morning, my race was at 8 a.m., I didn't feel like going. I slept like shit, you know, I felt like, oh, I was tired, I didn't have any energy, and they went and they fucking destroyed it. So it's all in your mind, guys. You gotta train your mind to, you know, to be motivated when it comes to,
you know,
when it comes to that.
Let me just give you a quick example, because that actually happened to me this week. So this is what I did. On Tuesday, I started working out with a friend of mine. Just 2 days a week together we go, and then I do the rest of my training separate. But he's new to fitness. So we were doing a leg day on Tuesday, and I'm not sure why, but I had a headache right from the beginning. And I don't get headaches typically, so they really bother me if I do. And we started off with squats. And like my third set, it just came, and I just felt like shit the whole workout. Like, I pushed through, I did the best I could, but I just didn't feel good. So then Wednesday I did a heavy back day with the same guy. So I go into the gym feeling mentally like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to lift today because I felt like crap yesterday. Am I going to get another headache? Like, what's wrong with me? You know, I just didn't have that motivation. After a few sets, I felt great, and it turned out to be one of the better back workouts I've had. Like, I was just so dialed in. I was using, like, I did a lot of reading this week on lat training, so I was using a lot of these, like, little techniques I learned, and, like, mentally, it flipped so quick for me that I got right into that mindset, and yeah, I went in feeling shitty, but once I got to do it, I had a great workout, and you know what a great workout does? It boosts metabolism. So to bring it back, you know, you're absolutely right. You can have a great training, a great cardio session on the days when you don't even feel like doing it.
And that brings us into metabolism as well. Besides diet, everyone harps on diet. Diet this, diet that, diet this, diet that. But no one talks about lifestyle in terms of training, in terms of working out, in terms of exercising. Your metabolism, you sit home in front of the TV, playing video games, all right, you know, and watching TV and doing all this shit, your metabolism is going to be shit day after day after day after day doing that. What do you think is going to happen to your metabolism? Your body, you're going to train your body not to have a strong metabolism. If you have a job where you sit on your ass all day, same thing. You're going to train your body not to have a good metabolism. So get rid of your chair at work. Get a stand-up desk. I did that. Get a stand-up desk. It makes a huge difference because you're standing up all day. Okay? Walk around. Do a little walking, pace, you know, whatever, just to move your body around, okay? Because we did not evolve to have these fucking desk jobs, but we have them, right? So we have to do what we can to kind of offset that. So with metabolism, you have to stay active. You need to go exercise. You need to exercise 1 to 2 hours a day, guys. If you're going to be in your top metabolism, you need to exercise 1 to 2 hours a day. That's a very tall order A lot of people don't have time in their life. I get it, all right? You know, we all have families and stuff, but you can do it. Take your kids with you. Just go for a walk. Go canoeing. Take your kids to play tennis. Take your kids to the basketball court. Just get active. You know, if you don't have kids, if you have a dog, take your dog to the beach or take your dog to the park, run around with them, play frisbee with them. Just get active. Get off your ass. And your metabolism will be forced to uptick. So there is a downticking and upticking to metabolism.
Guys, it's the science of this is the most basic, simple thing. It's never changed. It's the same since the beginning of time. And you'll hear this phrase, you know, when you're going through school and everything, the universe is lazy, right? It is. Everything is designed to do things as lazy as possible. That's the way that everything works. So we talk about with starvation diets. If you go from eating a normal diet to eating 1,000 calories per day, you lose weight really quick, and then all of a sudden it stops. Why does it stop? Because your metabolism slows down. It's the same thing we're talking about right here with exercise. If you don't exercise during the day, if you get up and then you go to work and you drive to work on your ass, and then you sit on your ass at work for 8 hours, and then you come home and you eat dinner and you plant your ass on the couch, you're not burning a lot of calories by doing that. So being lazy, your body's going to say, we don't need to burn as much calories because we're not doing a lot. We don't need as much energy. So we're just going to go at a slower rate. You know, we're just going to go nice and slow here, and it is what it is. But the minute you start exercising every day, your body says, whoa, okay, we got to start using this energy up because we need it. So now you can eat more, you can exercise more, and all of a sudden your metabolism starts going the right way. So our bodies, they're not stupid. They adjust to what we do. If you are in that rut, like a lot of us are, like it happens, right? You get caught up with work and family and, you know, fitness falls. It happens. There's nothing wrong with it, guys. Don't feel bad. But if you start making small changes, like just exercising every day, you'll see a huge difference. Like my buddy that I just mentioned, I just started training with, he said how much better he feels. He doesn't look any different. It's only been a few weeks. He doesn't weigh any different. But just the fact that he's exercising mentally, the dopamine's getting released when he's working out, testosterone's going to go up from training heavy. Like, he just feels great. It's amazing what exercise can do for your overall lifestyle. It's not just about, you know, can I build a little bit of muscle? It's about a lot more than that. You know, you can really change the way you are mentally.
So let's talk about what Matt was saying, starvation diets. You know, we have a lot of these diets out there, like the HCG diet, we do 500 calories a day. The problem with those diets, guys, is long-term. They're not sustainable. And also, your metabolism does get down-regulated as you stay on it. So what you need to do, the best way to, you know, cut your calories is do between a 500 and 1,000 calorie deficit. And I say the ideal amount for a male is going to be 500. The ideal amount for a female is going to be 300. But the reason I say 500 to 1,000, and for women I say 300 to 600, is because, you know, calories, you know, are very hard to track properly because there's so many hidden calories in foods. You know, that restaurants, they don't tell you about, even, you know, in the grocery store or whatever, you know, anything that you see, and we'll get into that. Matt actually has a question that we'll get into it later, but I wanted to kind of drill into this a little bit. So if you can really be in that 500 calorie deficit as a male and a 300 calorie deficit as a woman, over, you know, through the course of the week, you will lose weight. All right? You will lose weight. Your metabolism will downtick a little bit. So what you do, you have on, like, so let's say the weekend, you'll have a cheat meal. Say on Sunday, football game is on, go ahead and have a cheat meal. A couple slices of pizza, some wings, there's your cheat meal. That's what we call a refeed. So you're going to do a refeed day where you pump back in. And, you know, how much do I need? See, how much do I need? That was the question. I would probably say to you, if you're eating a couple slices of pizza and wings and you know, all that sauce that's on the wings, that's enough to put you into a surplus for the day. And that would be good enough. So have, you know, eat, and then have a slice of cheesecake, you know, on top of it. So maybe you're like 1,000 calorie surplus for the day. Boom, there's your refeed day. So now your metabolism can retake, and then you start on Monday again. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're in a deficit. Sunday, you're in a surplus. That's how you do it. Don't do 5 days of eating good and then 2 days eating shit. Or don't do 4 days of eating good and 3 days eating like shit, because you're just going to spin your wheels. After you have your feet, your refeed day, I promise you, you will notice that you gain a few pounds back. And you're going to be like, fuck, I just gained a few pounds back. But a couple of days, Monday, Tuesday, it'll fall back off. So don't even worry about it. But you have to do it like that. If you just do a starvation diet all the way through, your metabolism is just down. I did a starvation diet. I did a 5-day water fast. The 6th day, I had a liquid meal, okay, which was a blend of mostly vegetables and some fruit, okay? So I blended it up. I had it. I fucking was sweating and shivering after I had that, because what happened was my metabolism was revving back so fast. So don't worry about all these myths out there where people say, oh, you know, you hear fat people tell you all the time, oh, you shouldn't be in a calorie deficit. You should be eating every 2 hours. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. They tell you all these myths, because that's their way of feeling good about eating shit and eating all the time. You don't have to eat every 2 hours to keep your metabolism good. You don't have to. There isn't a rule to this, okay? You will know over time as you start getting results that you are doing it correctly. You don't need some fat dude that you work with telling you that you're doing it wrong when they're fucking 290 pounds and 30% body fat and eat shit all day. And they think that that's okay. Because, hey, they're eating every 2 hours. So if you eat every 2 hours and you're eating, you know, Chinese food and pizza and all this crap, you know, I guess that's okay in their world. No, that doesn't have, that's not correct, okay? Don't listen to that bullshit. Don't listen to that if it fits my macros bullshit, okay? This is a lifestyle. You want to eat clean the 6 days of the week. Then on Sunday or whatever day you want to do, you have your refeed day. That is the correct way to keep your metabolism strong. You need to be exercising every fucking day. This is a lifestyle, guys. Do it correctly.
Guys, that's the secret right there, okay? That you were just given the actual secret. So I'm sure Steve would take your $500 if you want to give it to him. And this is why. It breaks down so simple, okay? If you are locked in 6 days a week, say you're a man, and you're in a 500-calorie deficit. 500 calories times 6 days, okay? That's 3,000 calories. Say you're doing 300 calories worth of cardio those 6 days. That's not very hard. That would be a half hour of walking and some light jogging, right? Like, it's not much. So that takes your total to about 800 calories a day deficit if you're exercising and eating right. So 800 per day times 6 days, that's 4,800 calories. To lose 1 pound, you have to be 3,500 calories in a deficit. So right there, over the course of that week, you've lost over a pound of fat. Okay, you're on the right side of it. So if you have that one cheat meal on the weekend, say it's your Sunday football, perfect example, your pizza, your wings, and throw in 2 beers, say you have 1,200 calories, okay? That's not enough to gain a pound back. You're not doing anything. It's not going to hurt you by having that one meal. All it's going to do is kick that metabolism back into gear, because now it thinks it's got to work extra hard because it's getting all this food, all this, you know, stuff it's not used to. It's got to really burn. So you're going to get a benefit from that. And then you go right back into it your next 6 days, and now you're losing another pound and a half. And it just continues on, and your metabolism continues to adjust with your body. That's how you do it as a lifestyle. This is how you don't do it as a lifestyle. You do it only for 5 days. So if you only do 5 days at 800 calories, that, that's 4,000 deficit. So you're still losing just over a pound. But now, instead of having that one cheat meal, you're having that cheat meal three times a day for 2 days. Now, all of a sudden, you're a lot more on the other side of zero than that 4,000. So instead of being in a 4,000 deficit, now all of a sudden you're in an 8,000 surplus. So that's how you see, and it's a lot more popular in the younger crowd that's going to be going out late at night and that kind of thing. But now you see how easy it is to see the same guys in the gym 5 days a week, every single day, busting their ass, and they never change. They always look the same. And you wonder how it's possible. That's how it's possible. Because in 2 days, they fuck up the whole thing because they don't treat it as a lifestyle. That's the secret. Treat it as a lifestyle.
And if you do 2 days, then guess what? The next week, you're going to do 3 days. The next week, you're going to do 4 days. Then you're going to do 5 days. You have these people, they come on the forums, and they're always like, you know, they're like 6 foot tall, 145 pounds. They're like, yeah, my diet's perfect. Your diet isn't perfect. You're not eating enough. And then you have the guys who are 5'8", 230 pounds. They're like, yeah, I want to hop on steroids. My diet's perfect. No, your diet's not perfect. You wouldn't be that fat if your diet was perfect. It's just not possible. You know, you're not being consistent. And they'll post what they eat. And then you're like, dude, you're not eating this. They'll post like they're eating 1,500 calories a day. I'm like, dude, you're not eating 1,500 calories a day. If you ate 1,500 calories a day, even without any exercise, you wouldn't be 30% body fat. It's just not, it doesn't make any sense. So don't, you know, you guys need to learn how to be upfront with yourself and, you know, learn to basically sit down. I hate the whole counting calories thing. I've never been an advocate of it. But in this situation, when you're spinning your wheels and you can't figure out what the fuck is going on, I observe other people who struggle to lose weight. I can see when I go visit them at their house what they're eating. I had someone who's struggling to lose weight. I went and had breakfast at their house. You know what they were eating for breakfast? They were eating chocolate pancakes, okay, with a syrup on top, and they were eating fucking bacon, and they were eating eggs. You know, this is way too much food. I'm like, you're already, you know, more than halfway to your calories maintenance of the day with that kind of breakfast. I mean, those pancakes alone are like 1,000 calories with the syrup. I mean, my gosh, so if you're, you know, this boggles the mind. You got to sit down and you got to really take a look at what you're doing and you got to correct it. So, Matt, you had a person send in a question. And they wanted to know some of these foods that need to be eliminated from their diet. That's putting them, you know, they think they're in a 500 calorie deficit, but in reality, they're in like a 500 calorie surplus because they're including these foods in their diet and they're fucking up everything.
Yeah. And you know what? It goes perfectly with what we were talking about earlier with these sales and marketing machines. And food is the same thing. It's just a big marketing machine. Food industry wants you to buy shit. That's where the money is. Okay, they want you to buy garbage. And the person that sent this question in, they felt like they knew about eating, but they were being tricked because the way the industry works. So they sent me a list of these foods that we kind of went back and forth on. And so I'm just going to read off a few of these things, guys, because this is kind of what we discussed, that these are not good foods, but these are foods that somebody that doesn't know anything about diet or exercise, they're going to think that they're good, or they're going to think that they're beneficial for bodybuilding, fitness, whatever. And they're not, they're horrible. So something like processed deli meats, right? You might think, oh, I'm just going to go get some chicken. That's not what that is, okay? That's not chicken. If you want chicken, buy a fresh chicken breast and cut it into slices if you want a deli meat. These processed meats are probably the worst food out of anything that you could eat. They have so many ingredients that are proven to cause cancer. They're loaded with fillers. I'm not kidding you guys. these meats sometimes will have things in them like cornstarch and flour as fillers just to make them stay the shape that they are. Okay, so processed deli meats. Something like turkey bacon. Okay, it's still bacon. It's not turkey. If you flip over a package of regular bacon and turkey bacon, you're not going to see a whole lot of difference. It's still going to be really, really bad. It's still a processed meat that's loaded in saturated fat. The sodium content's going to be a full day's worth. So those are some quick examples there.
Just chime in on your dollar now. Turkey bacon, one cup of turkey bacon is 313 calories.
And think of how small a cup is.
Yeah.
And like, what, two pieces?
And the thing is, because when you cook it, you notice all that oil coming out. All that oil, one tablespoon of that oil is a shitload of calories. And to keep in mind, you know, turkey bacon, a lot of people think that it's healthier than regular bacon. It's equally as bad because it's processed. You know, the part of the turkey they make the bacon is just processed shit. So you're basically getting zero nutrition and just a lot of empty calories. What else?
Anything that's branded, and I would say this with quotes, low fat. So the reason I say that's a big watch out for me is because you'll find things on the shelf like Oreos, low fat Oreos. It's absurd. Okay, you know what they do in these products that they take the fat out? They load the fuck out of it with sugar. That's how they replace it, because they need fat for it to taste and have a certain texture and be a certain way. So when they take that out, they just fill it with sugar. Yogurt's another example. Be careful with yogurt. I'm not a dairy advocate, but if you're going to eat yogurt, stick with it just a Greek yogurt, because when you look at the container, if you look for the low-fat option, 99% of them are going to be low fat, but they're going to have two and three times the sugar as what the regular option does. So you got to be careful with anything that's labeled low fat. Low fat is a diet that was super popular in like the mid-90s. Okay, it was the whole idea of you eat fat, you'll get fat. We're learning that fat it plays a very different role now. Whole grain, and specifically whole grain breads. Bread is not something you want to include in your diet if you're trying to get healthy. Forget the whole gluten craze. If you're not intolerant to gluten, it's not going to kill you. There's a lot of things that are worse for you than gluten, but it is still inflammatory. So, and it's also very high in calories. It's easy to eat a lot of calories in bread.
One slice, let me just jump in this. One slice of white bread, 80 calories, regular white bread. One slice of whole grain bread, 70 calories. So it's slightly less, but it's still a shitload of calories. That's one slice. So if you make a sandwich out of two slices, you're talking about 160 calories just from the bread, not counting what's in the sandwich.
And what is a whole grain? It's just a grain that hasn't been processed. Corn is a whole grain. We know corn isn't the best food. Right, but you can claim something to be whole grain because that's what it is. Breads can really, really make your gut an issue. It is so, like, if you think about what the average person, how much bread they eat in a day, it blows your mind. It's something, I'm telling you, if you get rid of it, you will notice a difference on your waistline so quick. It's just one of those foods that, it's marketed as healthy when you're talking about whole wheat and whole grain, things like that. But in the end, it's still the calories are empty. It's not something you're going to want to have. You can get fiber or whatever they're going to claim in vegetables and other much healthier things like oatmeal. The next one is a big one for me because I see it all the time. The gym I go to, there's a lot of young kids and sports drinks. And I'll even throw like diet pop, diet soda in that mix too. Sports drinks, it's the same thing. It's just sugar and water. You don't need a sports drink, guys. It's the only time, the studies I've seen, the only time you ever need any source of carbohydrates while you're training is if you're training over an hour and at an excessively high level. So we're talking about like guys that are competing in the Tour de France, things like that. They may need a little bit of sugar. Steve, I know you were a runner before. So if you were doing maybe a half marathon, you might need a little
fuel,
right?
I just drank water, but they did have sports drinks available. You know, what happens is when you're running a lot, you're sitting a lot, you're sweating a lot, you know, you need those minerals back in your body, the salts, the potassium, the magnesium. So the sports drinks supposedly have all that. But the thing is, they have so much other junk that you don't want. A lot of guys that would drink them, especially the younger guys, they end up just throwing up, you know, because it's like all that acid in their stomach. So the way I rehydrate myself is I make my own little concoction. I do a little coconut water with regular water, just a little coconut water, and I put in my own, I take my own magnesium, and I put in a little iodized salt, and that kind of replenishes me for the hydration. But if you're in the weight room, an air-conditioned gym, and you're working out for an hour with weights, you just need water. You don't need to rehydrate.
No.
To that extent, yeah.
It's true. It's all you need. I just want to get these last two in that I wanted to stress, because I know we're getting close on time, and I don't want to skip these two because they're very important. The first one is peanut butter. Everybody loves their peanut butter. They want to eat it by the spoonful when they're into fitness because they think, for some reason, peanut butter is going to pack on the muscle. I don't know where this came from, and I don't know why it started. Peanut butter is not a great choice, guys. Like, I don't know if this is a revelation to some of you, but read the jar of peanut butter. It's not great. It's loaded with sugar. The calories are so high. You're probably using four servings instead of one.
One tablespoon of peanut butter or almond butter is about 100 calories. One tablespoon. That is insane. So if you're eating two tablespoons, which is not hard to do, that's 200 calories, guys. That's crazy. That's a crazy amount of calories. It's a gut filler.
And if you're putting it on bread, then you're destroying yourself. If you're only using one tablespoon and you're like throwing it in a shake, then why? Like, you're not even going to taste one tablespoon. It's going to just kind of add calories. Now, I get it. If you're a really skinny guy and, you know, you're having trouble eating, you know, your stomach doesn't work, you're always full, then that would be a time to use peanut butter. But to me, peanut butter is a kid's food. It has no real purpose in fitness when you're trying to look good and stay in shape. The other one, and I guess this is kind of another kid's food too, but it can trick you because of the some of the ones on the market, is cereal. Cereal is just another, it's just like bread. It's just a source of carbs that are just garbage. I mean, most cereals are loaded with sugars. Even the ones you find that are supposed to be, it's the same thing. It's just, most of it's just shit ingredients.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have ingredients.
Special K, which markets itself as a healthy cereal, and a lot of people buy into it. Hey, it's Special K. I had a lady one time tell me that. She's like, hey, it's Special K. It's good for me. It's got one cup of this crap is 117 calories. One fucking cup. So how many cups are in a bowl usually? Like three cups, you would say?
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah, so you're looking at almost 400 calories. And that doesn't even count the milk that you're adding. So we're going to take, so with the milk, that bowl of cereal is like 600 calories. That's why you see people who eat cereal, like a lot of kids and stuff, you know, they're all fat. You see in the supermarket, kids buying cereal, you know, their parents, they want, you know, they tell them, hey, go buy a box of cereal. And all the kids are obese. Because that's so many fucking calories. And they're kids. They shouldn't be getting that many calories. A kid getting 500-600 calories just from a bowl of cereal, that's not good. You know, throughout the day, they're going to be way over their maintenance.
You know, guys, I guess the whole idea here is there's a lot better alternatives. And if you just program your mind to think what's natural, what comes from nature, that's where you can get your alternatives. Instead of those deli meats, get whole meats. Get a lean, get a chicken breast. Get a grass-fed beef steak. Get something
fish.
Like that.
Get fish. Yeah. Wild fish. Go catch your own fish.
That's going to be a great source of meat. Instead of, you know, these sports drinks, drink water as you're, you know, when you're working out. Drink, like Steve gave you a great example with the coconut water. Instead of cereal, like oatmeal is a great example. Things like that. So, guys, come on the forums, and if there's something in your diet that you want to get rid of, or you just, you know, it's kind of one of your staples, but you need an alternative, ask. Because there's so many people on there from different parts of the world. We all eat different things, and we all want to help out. So I'm sure we'd have tons of different foods to say, hey, you know, try this instead, and you know, see how it goes.
Here's one, muesli. You know, muesli, it's marketed as a healthy cereal. One cup is 300 calories. That's a lot. Because dried fruits are a killer, and so are nuts. They're very fatty. They have a lot of, like, dried fruits have a lot of sugar. They're very calorie dense because they have so much sugar in them.
Again, if you took oatmeal and you put in fresh fruit, right there, there's your alternative. It's so easy, guys.
Oatmeal, like raw oatmeal, is under 100 calories for an entire bowl. So that's, compare that to cereal where you're getting 500-600 calories per bowl. It's a fifth of it. So this is a really good podcast, guys. Gave you a lot of information. We have so much more to talk about. So please submit your questions on the forums, and we'll be here to answer it. We appreciate you listening. This has been another episode of Evolutionary Rule Podcast, and we will talk to you guys next time.